Welcome to the new Ferris Love podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here, we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hi, Katie.
Hey, Monica. What brought you joy this week? I'm curious.
Excellent question. This is going to sound, this is so northern of me, the cold weather. Here's why. Because this time of year, because it's so cold, there's less movement. And I really do love the stillness. And I'm really fortunate to live somewhere right now where there's kind of a little pond in my backyard that freezes. And I go ice skating. I can just pop in between clients or in the evening, and I can just kind of it's so cold and it makes it so still. I love that. I don't know. That brought me, I ice skated this week and I loved it.
I think it's so funny. You sent the video of ice skating on Snapchat. As I was out walking in a t-shirt, cause it was 65 degrees here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it was so cold. The pond was frozen and she was able to skate on it up there. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis and Chicago are not that far apart, honestly. It's a 4-hour drive. So it's still, after 4 years of living here, boggles my mind how different the weather can be between our two places. But
What brought you joy, Kitty?
I will say my team at Rosebud Social, the company that I run, I have been very gifted, very blessed with just hiring some amazing employees who really love what they do, love the mission behind my company and my brand. And they're just also amazing humans. They're just amazing women overall. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I think they brought me a lot of joy this week just in what they're doing and, how attuned they are to, the things that we want to do. We're planning for 2025. And anyway, so they're all in that way, which I love.
You do have good employees.
I do.
They're good.
Yeah. One of Monica's good friends is one of my employees, so
I'm a little biased.
Yeah, it's true.
I think you've been able to really cultivate a super solid team that all kind of they can collaborate pretty well together, which is chef's.
They really do. Yeah, we get together. We love getting together. We don't do that often, but
that segues pretty nicely into our topic. So do you wanna tell our listeners what our topic is today? And then we'll circle back to what we promised we talked about last week.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So this week we thought we'd talk about work and the importance of work and the value of it. I think especially in our singleness that, work takes on, work is important any time of our journey in life, but I think especially in our singleness, because this is really the path of sanctification for us. So
before we jump into that, we always circle back to what we ended the previous episode with.
The task, the mission,
the week, the thought project, the whatever it is. So last week, if you didn't listen, go ahead and check it out. It's on friendship and the importance of friendship in our single days. And so the kind of thought project or the challenge was how can I grow in friendship?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. Katie and I took two different approaches to this and I love that.
Yeah, that's really funny. So this is airing in the first week of January, but we're recording it in late December. So I actually made a list of people that I want to reach out to and grab a coffee date with, grab a beer, whatever, in the new year once I'm back after traveling a bunch, and just made that list and have it. And so I'll have some text messages going out in the new year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it kind of started with literally just a thought project, sitting down and maybe praying, journaling, reflecting on yourself and the people around you. I think that's great.
Absolutely.
I reconnected with a friend from high school. We were fairly close in high school, kind of on and off. And then, graduation and you just sort of lose touch, although social media, makes you feel like you've really stayed in touch with people. But she's actually back in the local area. And so it was oh my gosh, wait a minute. Let's get coffee. So getting coffee with someone I haven't seen in over 10 years.
It's amazing.
Which is pretty exciting.
I think that's a good, we're not talking friendship today, but I think that's a good reminder too, that sometimes people are there. Like, we don't always have to be looking for brand new people to be friends with. Like, sometimes we're like, oh, like, I actually have been seeing this person on social media this whole time. Like, every now and then, maybe we'll send a message back and forth. Maybe I'll send them a meme or a funny reel. Like, maybe that's the person I should connect with. Maybe that's the person that God's putting in my life right now, you know? And so I think that can also help to kind of think through those people. Like, who are those people that kind of show up that I could connect with on a deeper level, right? Mm-hmm. Or that, you know, I have that social connection, social media connection. So how can I make a real social connection?
There you go. Mm-hmm. So speaking of social connections, I think work is a big social connector for the single adult. I mean, I think that the majority of us probably spend over 40 hours a week in pursuit of, in relation to our work. Because, you know, I'm going to count commute time. I'm going to count, you know, that's there and back for those of you who are going into an office, or that's kind of the time you're spending literally at work, or the projects and things that didn't get done during your traditional work hours that are now anything that expands or grows your professionalism that you're spending time with. So the reality is, for the single person, what you do for work is like your number one thing right now in life.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, for most married people too, they're working, right? Like, even in this day and especially in this day and age, like, it's pretty rare for even there to be a full stay-at-home mom at this point, right? And so even if you're married and you have kids, a lot of dual-income households, or mom has a part-time job that she's, you know, doing maybe from home and dad's fully working. You know, I think work in general, but certainly for us who are single, like, work is kind of where it's at, right? Work is honestly, this is hard, I think, to know sometimes or to accept, but like, we were made to work.
Well, were we made to work, or was that a punishment?
No, that's the thing. We were made to work. Work being hard was the punishment.
Ugh.
So like, for instance, right? Adam was put in the garden. Adam was told, when everything was perfect, name the animals. That's a job. Right? That's a work, right? Till the soil, you know, take care of these kinds of things, et cetera, right? Then Eve comes along, the two of them together, be fruitful and multiply, right? Take care of all of this. They were made stewards of the garden. That work, to till the soil, to do all of that.
Sure.
And then with the fall is where we get God saying, from the sweat of your brows, right? Like, now this is hard. So,
yeah.
I think sometimes we forget that we were made to work. And again, like, we talked about this in friendship, right? That, like, we're made in the image and likeness of a God who's triune, right? So we want to be social by nature. We're also made in the image and likeness of a God who worked. God created the world in 6 days. Like, that's work. I mean, obviously for him, it wasn't sweat of his brow, but when he's perfect, right?
Amazing.
He worked. Our Lord, when he came to the earth, right? Jesus, for 30 years... Well, probably not when he was one, was he wielding a hammer, but, you know, like,
different
during his private life, he's there, he's working with Joseph, he's working as a carpenter, he's known as being a carpenter, like, he worked. And so I think we don't want to fall into this modern mentality of, like, work is just drudgery, like, it's something to get through, I work for the weekend, I work for my vacation, but instead, like, I work for heaven. That's what it's about, right?
Yeah. I think that's beautiful. I think that people can kind of fall into two camps sometimes with work, where it's kind of all out, hustling, and just being overly consumed by their work. Their work becomes like everything in their life, or we see it as like a really negative thing. Most great things in life are the balance.
Yeah.
Right? That we live in the balance, that we work very hard. And we also know when to rest, and that we are doing both well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, with Vatican II and this whole universal call to holiness and all of that kind of stuff, like, we saw yet again the importance of work, right? Like, that made it much more clear. You know, like, San Jose Maria has so many great quotes about work and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, one of the things that he says is, like, your work must be a personal prayer. It must become a great conversation with our Father in heaven. And like, think about that. Like, your work as you do it, is it prayer? And I think some people can be like, well, what the heck? Like, no, I'm not sitting around saying Hail Marys all day. Like, no. right? I'm not. Or I'm not even like necessarily saying an aspiration every like 2 seconds when I have downtime. Like that would destroy my concentration. Absolutely. But if we put an intention behind what we're doing, right? If we show up with intentionality, if we show up with purpose, if we give the day to our Lord, then that work becomes prayer. It becomes that conversation with God, right? Where we're giving him that and we're like, here you go.
Yeah. It's about intentionality. That I'm seeing this. And if I have that perspective, everything turns into an opportunity. I'm using very therapeutic language right now. Like I feel like you started and I just put my therapist hat on and I was like, yes, because here we go, right? That, you know,
perspective.
Well, because how do we, because that's what's required when we think about choosing, because this is a choice, choosing how I see work. And that maybe it's not the way I was raised or what society tells me. And so in order to do that, in order to shift that perspective, we need to use different language. So the language of opportunity allows us to change and adjust and grow in the moment. And so what happens there, if I can see, if I can choose to see my prayers work and set that intention and set that purpose or so forth, then I can see everything in my day-to-day as an opportunity, right? Yeah. So it's, you know, that kindness to your coworker. It's the politeness to the train conductor. He's taking tickets and you're getting on and off, right? That like in this commute, pursuit, activity of work, there's something bigger here than just the humdrum that I can so easily fall into.
Right. No, totally. And I think it's really important to keep that perspective, but I think it takes like constantly kind of rectifying what we're doing, right? Because I think we can fall, like you were saying, into kind of those two ideas of one, like this all out pursuit of greatness in our profession, but to the detriment of our relationship with God and to our spiritual life and stuff like that. Like, it's really good that we pursue greatness in our career, but like with God. Or we fall into the other where we're like, oh, I just got to get through this. Right. And it's horrible. Whereas if we're bringing this all back to God, right. If we're like, okay, like I'm bringing this to you and this coworker that annoys me, like I'm offering her as well. And you know, this project that's taking longer than it should, or this coworker who is on my team and didn't pull his weight or her weight, okay, I'm offering that too. And the boss is in a bad mood or whatever.
I like that you brought up the negative examples because, no, because I think that that's where most people are at, right? Like, I don't need to be told how to find joy when the day is good.
Right.
I don't need to, like, you know, offer things up and sanctify them. I don't feel like I need to when things are good. It's when things get bad or hard that we're like, what is going on? How do I do this? And so, you know, and that can be for like so many different reasons, right? It may be that you love your job. It's just you had a bad night's sleep. So you're coming into this and you're like, my gosh, like I'm not firing on all cylinders today. Or, you know, you're having different setbacks or whatever it may be that's particularly making work difficult. And that in offering this up, Katie and I are not saying that by saying work is for your sanctity and that you can bring God into it, we're not saying it's going to be great.
No.
Or sunshine and rainbows, or the second you're like, God, I give this to you, it's gone or it's better. That's not how God works, right? So, you know, can I see my work as opportunities in developing my holiness and sanctity? And it may be that I'm practicing patience and growing in that virtue because my one coworker is the worst.
Yeah.
Like Chatty Cathy. And I'm like,
No, totally. It reminds me of a quote from John Paul II. He wrote an entire encyclical on work. If you haven't read it, highly recommend. I'll have to link to it in the show notes. But, and this is one of the things that he says. And I think this is like, honestly, you could take it to your prayer for like weeks. He says, work is a good thing for man, a good thing for his humanity, because through work, man not only transforms nature, adapting it to his own needs, but he also achieves fulfillment as a human being and indeed, in some sense, becomes more a human being. And I think like that's it
for nature,
right? Like you become more of who God is asking you to be when you're like showing up to work with intentionality, giving it to God, bringing it to him, that amazing coworker who you love and you're like, water cooler chatting with, as well as the one here, like, please stop talking. I can't handle you right now. Right. Like both of those, right, we want to be offering. And I think, like, to your point earlier, like, yeah, it's, I think though, sometimes it's easier to remember to offer the bad things. Cause you're like, this sucks. Okay. Offer it up. Whereas it's also really good to give God the good things too. Like, thank you so much that I have an understanding boss. Thank you so much that I got put on the project with this coworker who, like, I love spending time with, you know, whatever it happens
yeah.
to
be. Yeah. I think, as we were kind of talking, I was like, oh yeah, like, I feel we know this, I think, to our core. And I think a good example of it is, like, you know, when you've been on vacation for, like, too long, and you're just kind of like, I'm itching to get back to something, or it's like you have a long weekend and you didn't have plans, you didn't have vacation, but you had Friday and Monday off. And so the whole weekend you were kind of a blob, and you're just kind of like, what am I doing with my life? And and we see this, I mean, in psychology, an unemployed person is bad news bears. Like, people need a sense of purpose. And this is what JP2 writes about, a sense of purpose, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of contributing to my environment and to the world around me. We tune into ourself, into the way God made us. And, like, can I recognize this is good? Right. Even if it's hard, like, this is good for me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and then finding little ways to remind yourself during the day, like, to offer these things up, to give it to God, right? Yeah. You know, it's one thing to be like, okay, great. Like, I got to work hard. Like, I got to go in. I got to work hard. I got to offer it up. But, like, how do you remember that, right, throughout the day? Or, like, how do you remember to put God in?
Yeah, I want to challenge that a little bit.
Oh.
Like, that kind of phrase. No. Because I'm just thinking of, like, the American mentality and mindset of someone saying, like, I got to go in and work hard. And they're just going to go, like, ham, right? It's like, I got to go in and I have to work well.
Sure.
And some days working well may be not as productive.
Sure. Yeah.
And other days where you're absolutely grinding, right? Right. And so, like, for example, like, I don't see any clients. I don't go face to face with any clients on Thursdays. And now, okay, like, people could give maybe pushback and say, well, you have available hours and there's a need. I also recognize that I need time, mental space away from clinical work, also time to do my notes and progress stuff and admin stuff that needs to be done, but that I'm actually a better therapist when I have some mental breaks away from the clinical therapeutic setting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I didn't mean hard, like,
you're
always all in going, because I do the same thing, right? So all my employees know, actually all of our clients know too, for the most part, Fridays is what I call my creative day. And it's the day that I'm pretty detached, pretty away from my computer and my phone. I never take a meeting on Fridays ever. And in fact, if clients ask, I say, actually, I don't take meetings on Fridays. Can we make it another day of the week? Often what I do on those days is, like, I'll go for a long hike in the woods by myself. I picked up watercoloring a couple of years ago. I'll watercolor. I'll read, like, a professional development book, but maybe just a fiction book. I'll do these kind of other, I would say, brain activities, or like a shift in focus. And I tell people too that I think Fridays tend to be my most productive day of the week. Because I often, you know, I'll be, like, walking in the woods, happily humming along to whatever. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, we should do this for this client. Like, I just had this brainstorm. Or, like, oh my gosh, I need to reach out to so-and-so. Like, I think we could try this. And so I agree. I don't think it's that you got to be, like, go hard all the time. I think it's a very, it's true, American mentality.
Yeah.
But I think, I meant to probably say more that, like, I think we need to go in and always be working well. We need to be working with the idea in mind that, like, this is winning me heaven to a certain extent, right? Like, this is part of that path that's getting me there or not getting me there.
Yeah. And I think that this requires a work-life balance. And when I say balance, so people get caught up on this word balance because they think they're imagining, like, a scale.
Yeah.
Right? Where there's equal weight on each side. And I think really when we think about balance in a more kind of existential way, what we're going to see is that, like, I feel at peace and kind of balanced because I'm giving what is due, right, to what is required. Like, I'm giving what is due to these different domains in my life. I have a friend who just negotiated, and I was like, gosh, I'm so proud of her for this. Like, she just negotiated with her employer to work 4 days a week. So obviously it was a little bit of a pay cut. It was a little bit of a shift. But what she was realizing was that, like, she was feeling so run down because she did not have the time or energy or attention to be able to also care for the home. So she's single, she's not married, but, like, you're still living in a space that needs cleaning, cooking, cleaning, and, like, you know, for the grocery shopping and all this stuff, like, to do that well, she didn't have time for. And if the weekends were consumed by that, she didn't have time to date and have friends. Like, she was just feeling so overrun. And so she was like, I'm going to try this and see how it works. And if it doesn't work, I'll go back to 5 days or if it's whatever. And she is so happy. She's like, I work really hard Monday through Thursday. And Friday, I'm able to care for myself and care for the home and do what's needed so that on the weekends, I can actually, like, rest and tune into my dating life and other people. And so, you know, I think the thought here is thinking about how do I work well and how do I make work work for me, right? What does that look like based on my personal needs and life situation and circumstance? And how do I live my life with work well?
Yeah, it's true. And it's funny because I think, like, older generations would hear that story and be like, buck up and just work your 5 days a week. We all have done that our whole lives. But I think, like, it's important to remember too, like, in this day and age, so much more is demanded of us in terms of what we're supposed to be doing with these 40 hours, how we're supposed to be utilizing them. But plus, like, no one is off when they walk out the door anymore, right? Like, when our dad first started working, like, he walked out the door, he worked HR, he walked out the door, and, like, all the HR problems waited till he got in the next morning at, like, 8 in the morning. Like, he wasn't... The only way
to contact him would be to call his home phone number.
Exactly.
And no, like, one would do that. The audacity...
emergency? Maybe. Someone died? Okay. But, like, other than that, like, people aren't calling. Whereas now, like, literally, I was thinking this yesterday. Yesterday, I'm, like, at the gym. It's 6:30 at night. I'm, like, on the cycling. I'm, like, cycling. I'm, like, sweating it out. And I, like, messaged... I Slacked one of my employees. And I always tell them, you should have your Slack off at night. Like, please do not feel like you need to respond to your Slack. I just have random thoughts at random times of the day, and I just will always Slack because you can't, sadly, you can't schedule in Slack. Otherwise, I would just schedule to go out the next morning. So I'm like, this is just me getting out my thoughts. So I Slacked her. 2 hours later, she Slacked me back. At that point, it was like 9 p.m. And, like, okay, like, whatever, her choice. But, like, that's how our world is now, right? And so it is true that we need to think a little bit, like, a little strategically too about how we work. Because we, I think too, the point is, like, in order to work well and get the best of ourselves, we also need to make sure that we're getting the rest that we need, right? And so, like, for me, I realized when I was seeing clients, right, and I was having meetings 5 days a week, I was not good to anyone because I was no longer creative. I no longer had space to think and really, like, come up with ideas. I'm like, that's my thing. That's my jam. But if I had meetings every single day, I was like, all my headspace was in that. And then it wasn't working.
Right.
And so figuring out how you can, you know, finagle your schedule so that you can work well for the glory of God, right? Give that to him.
Yeah. I'm not here for the comparisons ever. You know, comparison will always, write this down, comparison will always be the thief of joy. Even if I compare myself to my previous self.
Totally.
Right? We do this all the time. Well, like, I used to be more fit 5 years ago. What's wrong with you? Like, why are we comparing? Like, you're in a different state of life, right? So boomers or whatever generation wants to say, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, life is so different. And the reality is, if we're single, right? So this isn't just to the general public. Like, married people have a different kind of understanding and relationship with, like, work and how their life is going to look with work in it. But when you're single, you have a lot on your plate. You do. Yeah. You have a lot on your plate because you're probably, like, doing all of your grocery shopping or cleaning and maintaining everything, right? You're also trying to date and to get out there and to meet people, right? If you have, you know, a vocation to singleness, you have your own apostolic assignments and you probably live in family or in community life that also needs you. They need to see you. And you probably also have household responsibilities, chores, expectations to participate in the running of that home. And so all of this to say is that in all of the work we do, right? Because even, like, caring for myself can be considered work, right? Like, you know, okay, Adam didn't have a 9-to-5 job. He worked the land, the soil, like, food, right? So even preparing my dinner or, you know, cleaning my apartment or whatever that is work. And so if I can see all of these things, that they're not just the humdrum of everyday life, mm-hmm. but that they are for my betterment and sanctification, that shifts my perspective. And so the question now becomes, well, how do I do this well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still that.
Yeah. I mean, these things are all like the treasure with which we buy heaven. I love the Mother Teresa quote that says, wash the plate, not because it's dirty, nor because you are told to wash it, but because you love the person who will use it next. Mm. And I think like that's so true for whether like it's in our workplace or at home, right? Like I'm mowing the lawn or I'm doing the laundry or I'm making my bed every morning, not because like you're supposed to make your bed every morning, which, you know, they do tell you statistically that's better for you, but because I love even myself. I love that I am a daughter of God and I'm going to care for myself in this way by giving myself a fresh bed to step into tonight or the next person to use the plates, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. And what's amazing is that if you adopt that mindset and mentality, things actually get easier. Mm-hmm. It's when we resist the cross or these chores or these things to do that life actually becomes harder because I'm resisting.
Right.
I'm like, it shouldn't be this way. And this is difficult. And I don't like this. And blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, but it is. This is the way it is. And so whether we like it or not, whether it's permanent or not, this is where I am here now today.
Right.
And so how can I love God here now today? Mm-hmm. How can I love myself? How can I grow in holiness mm-hmm. where I'm at? And if you embrace that, if you make your bed, if you pick up the clothes, the day is easier. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. it's easy, but it becomes easier because I'm working with God and with the cross, not mm-hmm. against him.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, along these lines, I think there can be this, especially for single women who really feel they're called to be married, right? There can be this feeling that like work is just like, my profession is just something like to get me through until I get married, right? And then I get to be a stay-at-home mom, which I think a lot of people think that way.
Yeah. Still,
right. Even though it's much harder to be a stay-at-home mom now.
I just twitched my eye. Yeah.
But I think I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of women get degrees that maybe they're like, I don't know, like, I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom, or enter careers that they're like, I don't really love this, but like, it's only going to probably be a year or two. And then I'm going to meet someone and I'm going to get married and it's going to be fine. And whether that happens or not, that's definitely the wrong mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Like we want to get degrees in college or we want to pick careers that we can give our all to, right? Mm-hmm. That we can serve God in, and we can serve God in any career. I think to me, like, it's not that you need to like become a youth group minister or, you know, run a Catholic podcast or whatever. Like you can be an accountant, you can be a nurse, you can be an office manager, you could whatever and sanctify that, but that it's not that you're like, oh, I'll just do this.
Yeah.
Kind of begrudgingly until.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that desire to become a stay-at-home mom, right? Or a wife, and for that to be like my eyes on that prize. Like, right. Okay. And truth be told, right? Like I picked my career because I knew that as I was discerning my life and everything, maybe that's what I want, like to be mm-hmm. married, stay-at-home. Maybe that's what God wants of me. And so I'm going to pick a career where if that happens, there's flexibility here, right?
Right.
There's a lot of flexibility as a psychologist. And so that's all fine and well.
Mm-hmm.
What isn't is when we delay our happiness, delay our sanctification, delay our holiness for another time. Because here's the truth of the matter. You are exactly where God wants you to be, and that's here and now.
Right.
You cannot delay. It's like the parable of the guy. I don't even know where. Showing how well I know my scripture. It's the parable of the guy who stores all his grain. He builds a big barn.
And then he dies.
And he dies. And God literally calls him a fool. He says, you fool. Tonight I will take your life.
You stored it all for nothing.
You waited. You waited. You put everything in the future for something else that you didn't actually have.
Right.
And so it doesn't mean that we don't work in that direction and that we don't make particular choices in life that help us get in that direction or in that place. We can't delay our happiness, our growth, our holiness for when, if that ever happens.
Right.
We have to be holy where God calls us, which
exactly.
is right
now. And like God's plan is so unique. We laugh in my family. So there's four of us girls, two of us single, two married. And the sister who was like, I'm not getting married right away. I'm going to have a career. Got married right out of college, has five kids. She still works full time, but like literally, like, not at all what her plan was. Not at all. But, like, met the guy she's going to marry, met him in college, married him right after. The sister who her whole life, she was like, all I want to do is be a wife and mom. All I want to do is be a wife and mom. Like, didn't get married till her mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, whatever. God's plan. God's plan somehow is better than our plans. We know that, even if it doesn't feel like it at the moment. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, it wouldn't have been good if she sat there just in this, like, stalled pattern waiting because she's like, well, I'm going to be a wife and mom. I'm going to be a wife and mom. And then, you know, you graduate and 14 years later, you're married and you're like, well, okay, that wasn't what I was thinking was going to happen, right? Like, you don't want to live 14 years or whatever, however long, even if it's only 7 years, even if it's only four.
Right.
Being like, well, like, this is just, you know, a passing through stage. Like, we don't want to give our all, even if it is just a passing through stage.
Mm-hmm. We don't ever become something instantaneously overnight. Mm-hmm. So if we're in this mindset of once I take my final vows, once I get married, once I da-da-da-da-da, then I'll start making my bed every day. Then I'll start being so charitable and holy because I'll have that grace of no.
Right.
No. Everything. Right. Virtues, sanctity, holiness, professional, personal, secular pursuits require time, energy, attention, dedication. They require our efforts. The beautiful part about when we offer things to God is that we're able to combine effort with grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like God's working with us and we're working with him. So, you know, I love this analogy of you pray to catch the bus and then you sprint.
Yeah, right.
And you sprint. Not and if like you missed that bus, it wasn't yours.
Right.
But if you caught it,
great. Yeah.
So we can't just be like, well, I really want to catch the bus and we're at home. You're like, you expect that bus to go out of its route to come get you.
No. Yeah.
We have to be working. And so this is the beautiful thing about sanctifying our work is that for all of us in our single years, that's where you're at.
Mm-hmm. And so
that's what needs to be sanctified.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, like, it's just so easy sometimes to slack off. I was thinking, you know, sometimes like right now we're like at the end of the year. Right. And you're like, well, like I could just do a little less. Like, no one's going to really know. Right. Or I think that this often happens too. Like if you're switching careers, right. Or if you're moving or if you got a new job or something like that, or even like you're going on vacation, like the last few days before that happens, you're like, I'm just not going to work as hard. And like, that's the same idea that we're trying to say, like, let's not do that. Right. Like, let's be like, Lord, all these hours are yours. I'm giving them to you and I'm going to work as well as I possibly can, you know, as effectively, efficiently as whatever as I can. And that doesn't mean just crunching a to-do list.
Yeah.
Right. But that we're really giving our all for each of those.
I think a really interesting thought project. This is what I'm calling these things that we end with instead of homework. But a little interesting thought project would be to consider, how can I bring prayer into my work?
Like,
and what I think is so beautiful, I would love to hear from our listeners, because what I think is going to be so beautiful about this, like, we could line up 50 people
who
all have different answers, because the answer should be whatever is so unique and specific to you, who you are, your personal gifts, talents, personality, temperament, and your work situation. And so what that's going to look like is going to be so different. So I'm curious. I'm going to be thinking about it, but
I know I love it. I'm going to pray about it more, but I'll share one way that I do it just to get the juices flowing for people.
Well, I'll share mine too.
So one of the things that I started doing when I was kind of early in starting this business, and I realized I was really, really focused on money, probably just so I could pay my bills. But I was just like overly focused on money. So every time I would send a proposal to a potential new client, I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, like, please say yes, please say yes, please say yes. And I was like, this is not me being detached from their response, right? And so this is not what God is calling me to. And so what I started doing is, you know, I put all my time and effort into making a really great proposal, really putting it together, right? Offering that time to our Lord. I'd put the whole email together. And then right as I hovered over the send button to send it, I would just say a glory be to remind myself that no matter what the answer was from this client, all the glory goes to God.
Oh, look at that.
And it completely shifted the way that I look at all these proposals that I send out. And honestly, it makes me a lot less upset if they come back and say no.
Because you're like, okay, God.
I'm like, oh God, like, you didn't want this. Like, that's fine. Like, this wasn't going to give glory to you.
Sure.
Okay. That's good. That's great. So that's nice. One small thing that I do that has been really, really helpful for me.
I love that. I see all of my clients on, well, it's not Zoom, but online right now. And when I'm in an office, I like the desk that I'm at or the little table I have. I always have like a crucifix or a rosary. Mm-hmm. It's so subtle, so small, like no one would really notice. And if I'm online, no, definitely nobody can see it. But it's in eye shot of me. And I think what has helped with that is that when you work just so directly with people, people can be un poquito frustrating, right? Yeah. Or even when you're in your own, you're sitting in a space of expertise, right? And so you're just like, there's a tendency to be like a little too self-focused, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, well, but I know and I'm the expert and like, okay, yeah. Right? And so I feel like that reminder for me, that like little image for me is often a good reminder of like, bringing God into that space so that he can guide me. It's not all about me and that mm-hmm. they, you know, and that I'm seeing this person as a child of God and not just as the problems that they're coming in with yeah. or the so forth. And so, but I'm going to pray about how I can add something yeah. else or kind of change it up a little bit.
Same. Yeah. We'll come back next week and talk about how we did that or other ideas that we had as we were going. Cause I think again, this is, you know, perfect example. This is something that can be always changing, right? Always evolving, always adding, right? Like I can continue saying this glory be every time I send a proposal and do something else, right? Constantly kind of bringing my mind, bringing my heart back to our Lord throughout the work week. Absolutely. All right. That's it this week for Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'll hope to hear from you on social media. And until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.